As part of your business development efforts, you likely attend at least one legal conference per year. What are you getting out of them? Are you even maximizing your attendance? Listen to today's episode to learn my exact before, during, and after blueprint for how to maximize the return on investment for going to any legal conference. Hey there, I'm Heather Mulder, former big law partner turned lawyer coach, here to help you build a profitable practice that reflects your values and respects your life. Tune in weekly for anti-hustle strategies on business development, mindset, leadership, and well-being, so you can create sustainable success in both law and life, because you didn't become a lawyer just to chase billables and burnout. This is Life in Law. Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome to Life in Law. This is your host, Heather Mulder. And one of the things I help my clients with is really maximizing the return on the investment that they're making into attending legal conferences. Because let's be real, there's a ton of them out there, and most attorneys attend at least one per year, maybe even a couple per year. And if you're not doing it on an annual basis, you at least go to them somewhat regularly because they're a great way to network. They're a great way to get in front of people. They're also a good way to speak if you're speaking at them. But the thing I've noticed is there's not a lot of planning and preparation around attending these, which is really a shame because if you're not doing that, if you're not really thinking through some things and planning ahead of time and then following a structured strategy while you're there and even afterwards, then I guarantee you are not getting the best ROI out of your attendance. And when I say ROI, return on investment, I'm talking about the time. It's a big chunk of time. You are not able to bill. You are not able to do a lot of your work. At least I hope you're not doing a ton of work. For those of you who are attending those conferences and spending most of your time in the hotel room doing work, you might as well not be there. But a lot of people end up in that mode because they haven't strategized well enough and they don't really know what to do while they're there. And the other piece is, and today is going to fix that, FYI. The other piece of that is it is a lot of money. Like, we're investing a lot of money into these things. So why would you go and not have a solid plan? So that is what we're getting into today. And it is a piece of what I help my clients with. So I wanted to kind of peel back the curtain today and let you guys in on my framework for what to do before you even go, while you are there, and afterwards, so that you can maximize the ROI of attending any lawyer conference that you go to. And lawyer conference, legal conference, or even other conferences, most of the conferences we lawyers go to are more legal oriented, but there are also a lot of conferences that we can and sometimes go to that make sense for us from an industry perspective. But it's not necessarily a legal conference. This would work for that as well. So let's just get right into it. So the before, you want to set yourself up to optimize that ROI. So number one, research. You need to research the conference agenda and the people who will be there. So get familiar with the agenda, the speakers, the attendees, not just about what presentations that you want to attend, although that is important. There's usually a CLE component to it, and you want to attend a couple probably that make sense for you and the practice that you have. But it's also about who you want to meet, know, and see. So who are the speakers? What companies do they represent? What types of audience will they attract? Is there a list of attendees? Try to get it if you can. Are social media addresses included in the list that you get? Some conferences give a lot of this information out. Some do not. Some will if you ask. Who might be there that you know and have met and want to see? You need to get really clear on all of this information because it's important to know this before you lead into the next step. Now, a lot of people start with the next step. That is not the first step. And the next step is set your goals. Before you set your goals, do your research. understand the agenda, understand who's going to be there, understand the people you already know who should be there, understand, you know, what can you actually get out of this before you set your goals? Because otherwise, the goals may not be well aligned to the conference and the people there. So step two is to set your goals. Know exactly what you want to achieve out of this specific event. So are you wanting to network with current and potential clients? Are you wanting to find new referral sources? Are you wanting to position yourself as a thought leader? Maybe you're speaking and that's your primary goal. Are you there to learn about the latest trends in a specific area? Now, let me be clear. You are there to learn. That is a piece to the puzzle, but you're also there to network. And you need to make up your mind ahead of time. Am I here to learn more or network more? Or am I here to mostly network? Sometimes the agenda isn't great for learning, but the people who are there are great for the networking piece. So it makes sense to be there, even if you're not going to learn a whole lot new. And I would just say this, it may make very little sense from a cost and time investment if it's only learning. This is the biggest thing I see. A lot of lawyers go in and they want to go to the sessions and they want to learn everything. And that is great, but you need to have that networking component in there. Otherwise, that cost is probably not worth it because you could probably do the learning piece through other CLE materials. Okay? If you're not going there to also network, it's probably some time and money wasted. So have some clear goals so that you can maximize what you're doing and create the right plan for that maximization. And by the way, you can have more than one goal. You could be there to say, okay, there is three potential clients that I know are there that I've started a relationship with. I'm definitely going to meet with them and move that relationship forward. And get clear when you're setting these goals, by the way, about what that means to move the relationship forward. Is there a question you're waiting for them to answer? I want to get this question answered, or at least get them thinking about, hey, I need this answered. Is there, you know, what is it that you need? How do you move that forward? Get specific with that. The other thing is, okay, so I have, let's say, three potential clients, and there's two other clients I know who will be there who are current clients that I'd like to grow with, but one of them is a great connector, I also want to see who they can introduce me to. So I'm going to ask them to get me at least one to two new people that they think I should know. That can be a goal as well. And then let's say you're speaking and you want to position yourself as a thought leader on a particular topic as well. Okay, great. So you want to make sure that you prepare adequately, but you also want to make sure that you are asking good questions of the right people, that you're getting in front of people, that you're utilizing that position, that speaking position, to hang out afterwards, answer questions, get to know people, follow up with people who come and ask questions afterwards. There's a gamesmanship to that. Don't just go and present and leave. Stay, answer questions, get to know people. Say yes to getting together for coffee or drinks or a meal later. Utilize that time well. All right, so once you've done your research, once you've set your goals, you got to create a plan to actually achieve those goals. So who do you need to schedule meetings with ahead of time? Which means who are you going to reach out to ahead of time to say hello, to ask if they'll be there, to let them know you're attending, even if you're not setting like a schedule, to letting them know you're doing a panel or a presentation and you hope they come, to asking about introductions. Hey, I know you know so-and-so. Would you be willing to give me an introduction? Create a plan and create your schedule. Let me note something. These conferences are draining, and they're draining to just about everybody, but they're especially draining to those of us who are introverts, which happens to be a majority of lawyers, by the way. You need to ensure you create a schedule that includes some downtime, that includes an ability for attending the sessions that you're interested in and want to attend, that includes ability for workout time if you need it, that includes time for pre-planned events, that includes that schedule for the appointments that you're setting. Look at it realistically and make sure you're not setting yourself up for exhaustion. Because if you get too exhausted, let's say you're there for three full days, and on halfway through day two, you're so exhausted, you just barely show up to things and you're not your best. We don't want that. It is better to build in more downtime and show up your absolute best than to try to see everyone. Because let me just note that when you're reaching out to people, you can let them know that you have limited time. So if we don't have the ability to see one another, I totally understand. We're all going to be busy. Let's catch up afterwards. It's an opportunity to reach out to people strategically. You don't have to meet with all of them there. It gives you cause for follow-up. So create a reasonable schedule. The next step to the planning stage is strategic reach out. So you have your goals. You know who you want to schedule meetings with. You know who you want to reach out to ahead of time just to say hello, to let them know you'll be there, to let them know you'll be going to a panel or presentation that they're giving or giving one yourself. Now it's time to strategically reach out to those people. Start with the people you want to see and make appointments with first, and the people you really need to see. Get them on your calendar if possible. Ask also for introductions from the people who are connectors and who know people you want to get in front of. That is where to start. And you need to do this ahead of time enough to give you some leeway, because sometimes somebody who expects to be there or you expect will be there isn't going to be there. Something has come up. And let's say you email them 3 weeks ahead of time and they say, oh, yes, of course, I want to see you. Let's schedule this time. And a week later, an emergency came up. I won't be there. Well, now you have free time. You want enough time to be able to have backups to reach out to. So you kind of have to categorize people. Start with the high priority people and move down that list. And again, keep your schedule in mind. Now, during this reach out, some of the people you reach out to, you can't schedule, as I mentioned earlier, with every single person you might know who will be there. So maybe say, hey, I'm going to be at this dinner. Will you be there? Let's chat while we're there. Like, you don't have to have specific appointments for everybody. Let them know what you'll be attending. Make sure you follow up with them when you're there. Also, you have an out. If you somehow just don't find somebody, afterwards you can always come back and email them, hey, I wasn't able to catch up with you. How was it? Here's what I got out of it. You know, there's all kinds of follow-up you can do. So don't be afraid to send those types of emails to people. Hey, I'm going to be there. Would love to see you. I'll be at this event. Let's make sure we talk during this time. It doesn't always have to be a specific appointment. I want to make that really, really clear. Your next step, once you have a plan and your goals and you kind of started that reach out process with the priority folks, is social engagement. So for any speakers that you're really interested in hearing and learning from and you'd like to get to know, make sure you're following them on LinkedIn. Connect with them if you can. Like their posts if they're posting about it. Comment on it. Let them know you'll be attending and you can't wait. Get specific if you can about what you're looking forward to. And then even send a personal message once you start that, right? Once you've followed them, maybe they've accepted a connection. You've liked a post, you've commented that you're going to be there, are really looking forward to the conversation because of, get specific, by the way. Once you've done that, it's fine to send a personal message around really looking forward, hoping you're going to talk about, I'm really curious about, like, get specific. Don't be salesy. Be real. Like, what would you say to them if you met them the night before at a dinner and you knew they were talking? What would you say to them in person about, oh, I'm curious about, can't wait to hear about? Say that in the DM. I think sometimes we tend to overthink these personal messages on social media. Basically, talk like a human being, a real person, as though you're face-to-face, and you're probably fine. Once you've done that, you want to also post about the fact that you will be attending. So let me just note, don't just post, I'm going to be there. Tell people, yes, you're going to be there, but ask, hey, who else will be there? Let me know in the comments below so we can ensure we see one another. Ask questions. For those who are attending, what are you looking to get out of the experience? Here's what I'm hoping to get the most out of. Maybe share one of your goals or some of the plans, things that make sense to share with other people. Just be real. So that's your social engagement. And then the last part is to prep any materials you need to prep. So business cards, table materials if you have a table, your elevator pitch that says who you are, what you do, and what you're looking to achieve at the conference. If you want to add that, that's actually a nice touch sometimes in very clear, succinct terms. And obviously, if you're speaking, whatever materials you need for that. Now, bonus tip here before you go. Clear your schedule as best as you can from a work perspective. You're putting a lot of money into this. You're there. You're going there. You might as well utilize that time wisely. It doesn't mean you don't work at all, but you need to clear as much of your schedule as you can. And this is why you have hopefully a team and backups and others who can help. You need to be all in when you go to these things. So try to clear your schedule as best you can. This is not a working conference. The goal is to be fully present and take full advantage. All right, so that is the prep stage. What do you do when you get there? Well, engagement is the name of the game. You are there to be present and then engage. And I think a lot of us, especially most of us introverts, and I am one of these people, we can get drained really easily. We walk into these huge, big rooms and they feel a bit daunting. Don't let that happen. So the whole point of that prep stage, or one of the points of that prep stage, is to help shrink it down. You're going to have meetings with people. You know what sessions you're going to. It creates, and you have a clear schedule. So it creates some structure into your day to help make it feel manageable and not so overwhelming. But also, when you go into those big places, you've already reached out to people. Look for them, you know, especially the ones that you didn't make appointments with. Look for those people. Go talk to them. Say hello. Look for the folks who said they'd introduce you to somebody. You have ways to shrink those big rooms. Part of that prep stage is to help those rooms be shrunk the moment you get there so you don't feel so overwhelmed. Now, some specifics. One, yes, attend a session or two, maybe a few that align with your goals. When you are there, stay. Go talk and engage with the speakers. Talk to participants afterwards. Ask good questions. And don't just run, you know, be visible. Meet people. Get their information if they might be good connections. Don't just go listen and sit in the back and leave immediately. Again, you're there to network. Two, be sure you're networking very strategically. You already have meetings, attend the meetings. But again, have some space in your calendar. That includes some space for last minute meetings. Remember, you are probably asking one or two people who you should meet. Who can they introduce you to? So you need some flexibility and some space in your calendar for those last minute meetings, or maybe last minute attendances. Be flexible. So let's say you were going to go to a big event in a big conference room in the evening. It was this large event. A lot of attendees will be there and you were planning to be there, but you get invited to a smaller dinner where there's going to be 20 people and it's a really interesting dinner with some great people there. Okay, be flexible. Go there. Let the people know who you were going to meet at the bigger one. Hey, I got invited to this dinner with some others. I need to be at this, but let's try to touch base tomorrow at some other event, right? Again, you can follow up with people afterwards. So be flexible. Three, have some questions and talking points ready that help you start and continue conversations. Questions related to hot topics, questions that are session related, questions that are work related, right? So we tend, when we get uncomfortable in these networking events, to stick to quote unquote safe topics, the food, very generalized topics. Get a little more specific, get curious and listen to people when they answer those questions, and then ask more follow-up questions. It helps really more authentic conversations to happen and go deeper and you to get to know people better, and it makes you a much better networker. And funny enough, people who are remembered the most aren't necessarily the super extroverted. I mean, we can sometimes remember those extroverted people, but you're more memorable when you make people feel good. And asking good questions and being fully present and listening makes people feel like they're truly being understood and listened to. You'll be remembered for that because a lot of people are not good for that. So go in with those questions and don't worry about talking. Remember that 80-20 rule. I've talked about this before. And if you haven't listened to my other podcasts around networking, you're going to want to go listen to those before you go to any conference. And I will put a link to all of them in the show notes. I've got a couple now, I think. But you want to be that person who is remembered not for talking, but for listening. The next item is be sure to take some notes about what you're learning, your key takeaways, about the people you're meeting that you want to keep in touch with, about the things you learn from clients and prospects about your industry, about hot topics, about their goals, about the issues specific to them. Make sure you are taking notes as you go. And then really at the end of each day, before you log off and go to bed or you know, wind down, or maybe it's, you know, mid-afternoon, you sit down and think, okay, what have I really learned today that I haven't captured yet? This is going to be really important for the follow-up phase. And it's hard to remember everything. So make sure you're taking notes as you go and that you do a check-in daily to write down any other thoughts that you have. And then finally, utilize those social networks again, even while you're there, specifically LinkedIn. So post about what you're learning, who you're meeting, and takeaways as you're there when it's fresh. This is a great way to really showcase yourself as a thought leader in a very simple way, and also to remind people that you're there who might be there who want to reach out to you so that you guys can meet. So that's the engagement phase. That's what to do while you're there. Let's get into the last phase, the follow-up. So first off, I want you to take that time on your airplane, probably airplane ride back, to reflect, not to work. We often tend to get out that billable work we didn't know. Take 30 minutes at the beginning of the flight and reflect on, you know, what did I learn in these sessions that I might want to talk about on social media? What did I learn about my industry and clients and prospects through the meetings I had while talking to others? How do I want to apply what I've learned, both to how I practice, to my business development, however it applies? Who did I meet? It's time to really log and rank. I've talked about this before. Who did I meet that's really potentially relevant to my practice, the practice I'm trying to build? And how likely are they to be able to build a relationship with? Now, I've said this before. We don't always know immediately. So that next step with them is to figure that out, right? But we all meet these wonderful connections at these types of events. And we send a lovely email afterwards. So nice meeting you. And then it goes nowhere. No. This reflection is meant to be very specific, not just to what you learned for your own practice, but the individuals, ranking them, figuring out, okay, who needs to go into a follow-up sequence? Not just a quick follow-up. We want to follow up with everybody within the next week, but a real sequence that I want to keep a relationship going. These three people are the people I need to build a new relationship with. Who are those people and why? The other thing I would note during this time is figure out what you learned about yourself, about your planning. What could you do better or differently next time? And jot those things down, record it so that you'll have it handy when you plan for your next legal conference. Secondly, within the first three business days of being back, share what you learned, the experience, something about the conference on LinkedIn. Summarize the insights that you gained through attending sessions, tag the people involved, summarize your key industry takeaways, do something that shows you as a thought leader, as somebody who really is thoughtful and learns and wants to engage within your industry. And then follow up with those individuals that you met. Now, as I said earlier, you're going to follow up based on prioritization. You're going to analyze the relevance to the book that you're trying to build and how likely they are to lead to something real in the future based on what you know now. You want to put those people into your schedule, your cadence for your follow-up. And if you're not sure how to do this, I've talked about this before. I will also link to that episode in the show notes. Then you're also going to send immediate follow-up emails or personal LinkedIn messages to pretty much anybody you met. So it includes those people who are the priorities, but others too, because that's just the nice thing to do. And also, you never know how a relationship is going to go. And sometimes we think the priority is someone who ends up not being so great. And somebody we didn't prioritize, we learn a month or two later, could be a great priority. So make sure you follow up in an email or even a personal LinkedIn message. Make sure you're connected to these people. If you're not, connect with them. Say it was great meeting them in that personal message. It doesn't always have to be an email, FYI. And I would say for that, for the just the immediate follow-up emails, most people are going to say do it the first day you're back or within 48 hours. That's great. But let's be real, you were probably not getting a lot of work done. And you may not have the time to follow up with the 20 people you have on your list. Take the next week to do it. It's okay. So that is it. That is my step-by-step before, during, and after framework for how to maximize the return on investment for legal conferences. Hopefully you learned something today. Again, I will post links to the networking and then also the other podcast that talks about how to rank your connections into the show notes. If you haven't listened to those or you need a refresh, be sure to go back and listen. That's it for this week. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to Life in Law. Want more practical anti-hustle strategies designed to help you grow with purpose, lead with clarity, and build sustainable success that actually feels like success? Join Success Without Sacrifice, my free weekly newsletter for lawyers who want more control, more impact, and lots more fun. Go to lifeandlawpodcast.com to join now.